The name of this sermon today is Giving to the Poor God's Way.
It's time for another Holy Ghost-inspired message from God's Word, recorded live at Living Water Church in Bridgeport, West Virginia. Now, here's Pastor Jerry.
We're going to hear from God. So would you pray together with me? Father, thank you again for another beautiful day. Why? Because we get to hear your word. And why? Because you have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. We are seated with you, Lord, in the heavenly places. And now, right now, that you would give us your heart, you give us your understanding, you would give us all of your mind, Lord. And we're thanking you for that. And I thank you for each one that is here today. What a blessing to me, God, as a shepherd, to see the faces and to see the sheep that have grown in you and gone on to things of God. And we give you praise, Lord. I thank you so much for that. Bless your word today and use me as your servant in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And again, you know, I am so blessed to have our young people here today because they are our next generation of godly people that will come up behind us if the Lord tarries. And it is a foolish thing for adults, older people, to just think that we're going to do everything ourselves. We need to pass this on to generations to come, that they would serve God. And the longer this world gets, the harder it gets. So important for you guys to have a good foundation in Christ. So good. Now, I see Miss Jean, your smiling face over here. Can you hear me, Miss Jean? Praise God. Amen. Because if I need to, I'll come sit right beside you and preach, all right? Praise God. That's awesome.
He is good for that, and he definitely will. Jump back over with me again to Proverbs chapter 14. In Proverbs chapter 14, verse 31, he that oppresses the poor reproaches his maker, but he that honors him has mercy on the poor.
So I want to talk about, again, Proverbs chapter 14, he that oppresses the poor reproaches his maker. But he that honoreth him has mercy on the poor. He that honors the Lord has mercy on the poor. So, let's take a look at this, because these texts clearly answer some questions. The name of this sermon today is Giving to the Poor God's Way. So, we are instructed, okay? This answers very clearly these two scriptures that I just talked about here. In Proverbs chapter 19, verse 17, and Proverbs 14, 31, answer the very first question, should Christians give to the poor? Amongst these two, and probably about 30 other verses that are in the scriptures, very clear that God's heart is that we are to give to the poor. So I think that this is probably one area that Christians as a whole are very weak in, is this area of giving to the poor. Because we're usually pretty good at giving to others and our families or giving to those that are in need in the church. We're usually pretty good. But when it comes to the poor, I want to examine today really what is that that is biblical that classifies that as the poor. And I want to talk about that today just a little bit and then talk about some of the things that God is asking of us to do. So, giving to the poor God's way. We are assured that we are to do it. So there are some Christians say, no, that's not my ministry. I don't do that. My ministry is praying for others. My ministry is teaching. My ministry is preaching. My ministry is intercession. I just man, I give myself, I stand in the gap. My ministry is not to give to the poor. That is not correct. Because for every believer that names the name of Jesus, this is the heart of God. So we know number one, that was question number one, very clear. Should we give? What's the answer? Today's teaching session will continue with question number two. You have the answer to it, Caleb. He says, well, if you gave it to me, I might have the answer. Here it is. Number two, is there a biblical way to give to the poor? How many of you nod yes? You know I wouldn't preach a sermon if there wasn't, right? So there is a biblical way that we are to give, and I want to take a look at that. Jesus himself talked about this, and this is over in Matthew chapter 6. Some of you may recall that section is called the Beatitudes and the Sermon on the Mount business, and there's a whole bunch of things that are in that in chapter 5. But chapter 6, now Jesus continues, and I want to get a hold of what he says here. Take heed that you do not do your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. So it's not a question again here as do I give to the poor? It is when I give to the poor. Everybody understand that? So he says, when you do this, be careful that you don't do this before men so that everybody sees you and everybody says, wow, what a great guy. What a great girl that they give to these poor little people that are out there. Boy, look at this. Therefore, when you do your alms, do not sound the trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Truly I say unto you, they have their reward. Now this is a really interesting thing. And when you do a study on this, this is actually what was happening in Jesus' day. That there would be some rich folks that would go out, stand in front of the synagogues, and they would actually have trumpets blown. And the trumpets would sound, and the poor people all knew that there was a rich person that was coming to throw out some money. And so the trumpets would sound, and just like calling in people, they would call the men, and the poor would come rushing in hopes to get some of the money that was dished out, that was thrown out. And then the individual, after the trumpets were sounded, would say, look at me, I am rich, and I'm going to give you poor little people some of my money. And then everybody would stand around and clap that they gave their money to the poor. Jesus said, this is not how I want you to do this. But when you do your alms, verse 3, let not your left hand know what your right hand does, that your alms may be in secret, and that your Father which sees in secret himself shall reward you openly. So what is God saying? Sometimes we look at scriptures like this and say, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. And some people say, what in the world is that talking about? It's simply talking about this. That within a body of individuals, and we know by looking at the Word of God that the church is a body of Christ. And we are not to let our left hand know what right hand's doing. This member know what this member is doing. And if you decide that you're going to give, for an example, if you are going to give to the Indian Fund as far as giving a bicycle or you're going to give a sewing machine, you don't walk around saying, you know what, I just put my check in the box for two sewing machines. Donna Marie, did you know last week the Lord really blessed me? You know why? because I put in enough for three bicycles.
Good for you.
And what kind of reward? Good for you. Yeah? That was the only reward that I got. But when I do my giving to the poor, I don't go around broadcasting it and let everybody know what I did. This is biblical giving. We are to give between you and God, not letting your brother or sister, your left hand or right hand, know what you did. And that's very, very important for us to understand, because within the church world, so oftentimes we've gotten away from it. You hear me talk about individuals that want their names on the back of the pew to say, I donated this money for this pew, and from now into eternity, I want everybody that sees it, who sits down there behind it, to say, I gave this pew. That is directly opposite of what Jesus says for us to do in our givings here. Do not let others know what you are giving. Avoid drawing attention to yourself if you are going to do that. Don't stand in the street and say, everybody look at me. Look at what I'm doing. Because that's the only reward that you are going to have. There is biblical ways to give. And that is how God asks us to give. Question number 3. Now I'm going to move along here. Caleb, do you have the answer to this one? You missed it the first time, okay? I'm kidding. Third question is, who should I give to? And this always comes up here. And I want to give you the biblical definition of who God's heart is for. Because sometimes the church has gotten this out of whack, and there's a particular scripture verse that I'm going to share, but I think first and foremost, according to everything that I have ever studied or read within the scriptures, first and foremost, the poor among your brothers and sisters as God's family. That is first and foremost. And it all starts out, let's go back to Deuteronomy, when God was giving instructions to Moses for the people of God. What? His people. All right? Deuteronomy chapter 15. And this is really, really informative here as we understand this. Deuteronomy 15, starting in verse 7. If there be among you a poor man of one of your brethren, did you see that? One of your brethren, your fellow Israelites, your fellow family, we could translate that today into your fellow body of Christ member that you are attending church with. Let's face it. Within the body of Christ, there are those that are rich in this world's good, and there will always be those that are not as rich in this world's goods. And God looks at us as His believers, and He says that it is up to you to do something. If there's any of the poor men among your brethren within any of your gates in the land, which the Lord thy God gives you, you shall not harden your heart, nor shut your hand up from before your poor brother. But you will open up your hand wide to him, and shall surely lend him sufficient for his need, and that which he wanteth for. Beware that there be not a thought in your wicked heart, saying, the seventh year, the year of release, is at hand, and thine eye be evil against your poor brother, and you don't give him anything, and he cries unto the Lord against you, and it be sin unto you. You shall surely give him, and your heart, and shall not be grieved when you have given him, because that for this thing the Lord your God shall bless you in all of your works, and in all that you put your hand unto. For the poor shall never cease out of the land. Therefore I command you, saying, thou shalt open your hand wide unto your brother, to thy poor and to thy needy in thy land. Does it get any clearer than that? This was God's heart. Now, let me just clarify this whole business here, looking down at this verse that says, beware, verse 9, that you be not a thought in your heart saying, the seventh year, the year of release is at hand. I'm not going to give my brother. Let me give you just a little bit of understanding on this. Every seventh year, whatever debts were due, they would be released on that seventh year. So in other words, Gene, if I loaned you $100, 7 years you didn't pay me, at the seventh year, it's released. You don't owe me anymore. Now, wouldn't it be good today to operate that way? Some of you say, yeah, that'd be great, right? But you cannot say, this brother cannot say, wait a minute, the year of release is coming up in 6 months. So, you know what, forget it. You know, I'm not going to give you any because I'm not going to get anything back from you. God says that's an abomination. When you see your brother, you ought to give. If there is a need and not expecting it back in return again. So here we see it in the book of Deuteronomy. Now I want you to turn over to Matthew chapter 25. And Brother Rick said this morning when I came in and I gave him the scriptures, he said, wow, you're getting a little close to Pastor Aaron in all your scriptures. And I said, well, not quite, but we do have a lot to cover over here today. Matthew chapter 25. I want you to see Jesus' heart here. And a lot of people miss this. Matthew 25, and this is verse 37. This is that whole business where Jesus said, I was naked and you clothed me. And here's where he starts. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when were you a hungered and we fed you, or thirsty and we gave you drink? We don't remember that. When saw we you a stranger and took you in, or naked and clothed you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and we came to you? And the king will answer and say to him, truly I say to you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these, and this is where a lot of churches leave this part out, my brethren. Did you see that? When you have done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. The heart of God is for His children, His people, and that His people are fed, and His people are taken care of, His children are taken care of. And God will use His body to take care of His body, folks. And it's very important. Not that we can't give to others that are outside of the body, but first and foremost, it is the body of Christ that is the heart of Christ. When you have given it unto these, the least of my brethren, you have done it unto me, because they're my children, and you've done it unto me. So first and foremost, the heart of God is for His people. God's people. James chapter 2, and again, I want to drive this home to us and how important this is to the heart of God, especially when there are poor that are among us, being in the body of Christ. James chapter 2, verse 15. If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say to them, depart in peace, be warmed, be filled, notwithstanding you don't give them the things which are needful for the body, what does it profit you? Even so, faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. What did verse 15 say? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute, and you say to them, be warmed, I'll pray for you, and you don't give them those things that are needful, what have you done? As far as God's concerned, you've done nothing. Those are tough words, right? So important for us to get a hold of what God's heart is on this matter. God loves His children. They come first to Him. Then the scriptures talk about almsgiving to humanity. I think as far as what God's looking at, take care of my house. Take care of my people. That is important to me. Then, if there's other needs that are out there and you want to be a part of that, then be a part of that. But take care of my people is what God is saying. Fourth question, Caleb, by now you should have this, right? How shall I give it? How shall I give it? Now, this is one thing that we have to be careful that we use the whole counsel of God in this area. Okay? Number one, according to the scriptures, and again, for the last 40 years I've been studying this word of God, 40 plus years, and I see number one that's the most important thing as far as how we give is we are called to be stewards. Does everybody understand that word? A steward is one that looks after what someone else has given them. Now let's take this to the bank. Ready? Who gives you the power to get wealth? God does. So whose money is it? It's God's money. Some people say, nope, it's mine. I worked for it. It's mine, mine, mine. Jax is again reminding Laura and I that whatever he has is mine, right? Mine, mine, mine. But it's God's. And we are called to be stewards over the finances that God has given to us. Proverbs. I want to go to Proverbs chapter 27. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 23. Be thou diligent to know the state of your flocks, and look well to thy herds. Verse 24, for riches are not forever, and does the crown endure to every generation? Some people say, why are you talking about flocks? Why? I thought you were talking about being a good steward. That's exactly what this is talking about. Solomon said, I want you to be diligent to know the state of your flocks and look well to your herds. Do you know what God is telling us? He's telling us that we need to be good stewards of what He has given to us. Our flocks, our finances, our homes, all those things that God has given to us that we are to pay particular attention to and to be a very good steward of it. There are some people that say, oh, that's just not my thing. I'm not real good at it. I'm not good at the whole financial thing. Well, then find someone to help you that is good at it. Okay? Because according to this, we are to be diligent when looking over our flocks and everything that we have. Some people say, well, I'm just not good at money management. You know, money comes in, it just flies out of my pocket. I don't know how. And then you have those other individuals that can look and they say, well, I can see where it's flying out. It's flying out here. It's flying out here and flying out here. Right? Now, within oftentimes a marriage situation, God's really good. He'll give one that is really good at it and the other one not so good at it. And so there's a nice mellow section right there. But, you know, if you're not there, then find someone that can help you with that. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand who's good at this and who's not, okay? But I am telling you that God says that we are to be good stewards of what He has given to us. That we are to look faithfully unto what He has blessed us with and how we portion out what we have. This is not, well, if you feel like it, do it, because I don't really care, God says. No, He does care. Otherwise, He wouldn't have given us this kind of scripture. Now, some of you that are not really money-minded, you're like, quit talking about this. I don't want to hear this, okay? But it is very important we do get a hold of this as far as being diligent stewards of God's money. 1 Timothy chapter 6. And again, we're moving around because I want to give you the whole counsel of what God says here. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. Paul's telling Timothy, charge those that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who has given us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Verse 18 again, that they do good and that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. How many people in this room are rich? We all should be raising our hands. How many of you came to church in a vehicle? We're rich. We have a vehicle to travel around in. We don't have to walk to church. How many of you have a bed? How many of you slept in that bed last night? We're rich. How many of you have heat in your homes? How many of you have air conditioning in your homes? We're rich. In comparison to what so many others in this world have. So our charge is here is to be willing to communicate, willing to distribute, willing to help. So let's combine these two things together. We know we are, according to the Word of God, be willing and ready and able to help, but we must do it diligently and being a good steward of what God has given to us. Now, I will say this, that in many times our zeal to promote the kingdom of God or help someone, we actually can err and give away the funding that we need for ourselves. I want you to hear me one more time on that. Because this has been an issue for many a Christian. There is something that comes up, somebody that has a need, something that, your heart is just touched. There are some people in the world and within the body of Christ, you have to help them not to give. Okay? Because it's just their heart. They will give everything away. But again, we have to keep the whole Word of God. We have to be good stewards of what God has given to us. Because how many of you know people that will give the shirt off their backs to anybody? Doesn't matter whether they need a shirt, okay? But so many times in our zeal, we give away what God has given us to take care of the things and the needs that we have and then be able to distribute to the needs of others. And then they're saying, what happened? God, you're not keeping your word. You're not providing my needs. When God says, I did, and you gave it away. Now, I'm not saying in every situation that's the case, but I'm saying there are situations that that takes place. Now, if God specifically speaks to you, that's a whole different thing. But if you are the individual that you have an issue with, I got to give everything away, it doesn't matter whatever, whoever I'm going to give it away, get some counsel on this, okay? Get some counsel if you know that that's you. It's an interesting thing, and I'm going to fringe on something here that could or could not be, but I want you to turn with me over as an example of what I'm talking about in the book of Acts. In the book of Acts, If you remember, when the church started, Peter gets up and preaches, and there's 3,000 added to the church that day, and then there's thousands that are coming on a daily basis, and the church is growing. And so we see this now after the church has gotten this many people in it. In chapter 4 of Acts, starting in verse 34, neither, and I'm going to read this all the way down through chapter 5, neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold. And they laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made to every man according as he had need. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession, and they kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it. And they brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back the part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own power? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart that you have lied on, you've not lied unto men, but you've lied unto God? And of course, Ananias, hearing these words, fell down, gave up the ghost, he died, and fear came on all those. Now, most of the time when this section is read, we kind of major in on this point about lying to the Holy Spirit. But what I want to major in on here is if you look at verse 34, here they were all coming together, neither was there lack among any of them, for as many as were possessors of lands and houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold. Now, when we hear that, we initially think, what a great thing, right? What a great thing that they sold, and they saw other people, perhaps they saw Barnabas selling his land, so let's sell our land, and let's just all do this, right? They sold their lands, they sold their houses. But an interesting thing here to look at, though, is Romans chapter 15, verse 26. Later on here, the Apostle Paul is taking up a collection. And who's he taking a collection for? Look at this. For it has pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a contribution to certain poor saints which are at Jerusalem. So my question is this. Is it possible that when hard times hit, they had already sold these lands, they sold these houses. Is it possible now they had nothing left and they were poor? And so, of course, the saints took up a contribution and took care of them. But the interesting thing about it is here, this was not a command for them to sell their houses and to sell their lands. And we get that by going back to the book of Acts in chapter 5, this whole business when Ananias and Sapphira, they sold this. Look at verse 4. Here's what Peter said. While it remained, when you had that house, was it not your own? Nobody was making you sell this. And when you sold it, was that not yours as well? I think sometimes, and I'm not saying that, you know, everybody that sold their houses, their lands was wrong, but I think that perhaps there were some that were just going along with everybody else and maybe doing that and maybe not being a good steward and maybe not hearing from God. How many of you just by chance would say that, you know, you got caught up in something at one point or another and you just gave away a lot of stuff? One hand, thank you. Two, all right? We got caught up without asking the Lord about it, and we just gave it away. And then later on we find out we're in a bind. And we wonder why. What happened? Did we hear from God? Did we truly hear from God? So it's important for us to understand that in giving to the poor, we must be good stewards. And we must understand that we got to hear from God. Peter was not telling everybody, and the apostles were not telling everybody, go out and do this. You must hear from God if you're going to do this. Now, you've heard me say in the past, there was a time when I was not working, and then I got a job painting a house, and I had just gotten paid for the entire job, and the Lord spoke to me, and He said, give it away. Now, very, very important that you understand you have to hear from God in doing such a thing. One amen. You have to hear from God in doing such a thing because there were bills that were due. And being a good steward. And I pulled the money out, opened my wallet, looked at it, and I looked over at Laura. I'm looking for a confirmation here. I said, the Lord spoke to me. She said, what are you doing? I said, the Lord spoke to me. Can I get a confirmation? And she's like, and all this has to happen within minutes here. And she's like, okay. We got the confirmation. God took care of us. He took care of us because we heard from God. But let's not be giving away that which God has to take care of us. Very important to understand that point here. Okay? So, we have to use wisdom. Wisdom in giving. Stewardship in giving. Wisdom is really, really important. So Caleb, I just answered that question. How shall I give? And using wisdom, hearing from God, get confirmation. Get confirmation. Especially if there is a large amount that will take away from something that you know that you will need to be able to pay. And by the way, let me tell you this. It is the worst example in the world for a Christian to not pay their bills. Or being late on paying your bills. That's not good stewardship with the people of God. It is terrible for churches to be late and not paying their bills. Do you want to know why banks don't want to loan to churches? Because they don't pay their bills. And they're always late in their payments. As for me and my house and this house, we will pay and be good stewards of what God has given to us. Now, if for whatever reason finances drop off, we must look at that and say it is important for us to pay our bills, to pay the mortgage, to pay the utilities, to pay everything. You know what? When we were having gravel brought out to the parking lot here, one man came out and he said, I've got a load of gravel on here, but I've been instructed that I have to get the money right now before I dump this gravel in your parking lot. I said, why is that, sir? And he says, because churches don't pay. And that's sad. That is sad. And that is not stewardship from God's Word. So Christians, people of God, listen to me. It is the heart of God that you pay your bills. Can I say it again? It's the heart of God. You pay your bills and you pay them on time. That's some good preaching, Pastor. Who do I give it to? Next question, Caleb. Question number 5. We know how. We know we're supposed to. Who do I give it to? We have to use wisdom in who we give to. Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 5 says, He said, my son, my daughters, get wisdom. Get understanding. Don't forget it. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. Don't forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all you're getting, get understanding. Verse 7, wisdom is the principal thing. Above everything else, the principal thing is using wisdom when it comes to who do I give to. Who do I give it to? Stay with me over there in Proverbs. Go to chapter 11 now. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 14. Where is no counsel, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. All right, let's talk about this. Get counsel. Don't just be dishing out funds to someone that you know nothing about. Because you know Satan loves to steal from the people of God. He loves it. And you know why? Because he says they're not listening to what God told them to do. We're told to get wisdom, get understanding, the principal thing. And oftentimes I will tell you this, over the 40 years of ministry, there has been individuals that have come to me, asked for counsel, and I've given them counsel, and then they just totally ignore the counsel and go do what they want to do. And then later come back and say, you know, I should have listened. I should have listened to you. Should have listened to that counsel that was given. Because now I'm out. And it's not coming back again. Okay? Now, a lot of people think that pastors are just hard. And that, they just say, no, don't give to that. Don't give to that. Don't give to that individual. It's not because they're hard, it's because there's wisdom that's involved there. And leadership is called of God to use wisdom. Okay, I want you to, again, go back to the situation where, remember in the book of Acts, they had sold properties and they sold lands, and the money was given. Who is the money given to? Huh? First of all, it was given to the apostles, given to the elders, given to those that were responsible for, and then they distributed it to the needs that were in the congregation. Why? Because they knew what the needs were in the congregation. If you have a desire to give, it's really important to understand this. Number one, you ought to use wisdom. You know, there's all kinds of things that are out there. And I was listening to an Indian pastor. It wasn't Pastor Joseph. But I was listening to this guy, and he said, listen to me, people of United States. Please pay attention to me. He said, I am from India, and these Indian people will come over, and they will show you a picture of this orphan and say, you know, this poor little orphan, they need some money. They need somebody to support them. And so what will the average Christian Joe say? Well, you know, I will take care of them. I will support them every month with $50 a month or $100 a month. And they say, thank you so much. But do you not realize, he said, that that same picture of that same child is going to 30 other countries, and each individual that says that poor child is sending money for that child, and where is the rest of the money going to? In that man's pocket. He said, trust me, I know, I live in India. So Christians sometimes are so naive about these kinds of things because of the heart Satan preys on that and says, you know, you should give to this. Do your due diligence in knowing what the organization is about and what they do with those finances. And if you don't know, then if you want to help the poor, you have it on your heart to help the poor, bring it to the church. and say, church, distribute this to whoever has need of this. That's important. That's counsel in there. I'm not saying you can't give outside of the church, but if you do, use your due diligence and know what it is and get counsel on it from others before you give, because oftentimes the people of God get sucked into things and lose so much money because they're not paying attention, they're not getting counsel on this. I know that this is not a sermon that's oftentimes preached, but I think it does need to be preached because we need to understand how to give God's way. And there's wisdom in a multitude of counsel and how important it is to understand this. A very wise way to give to the poor is through church activities, church things that are going on. Listen, at Living Water Church, I know that I have many people ask me, do you really know this individual, Pastor Joseph? You know, one of the reasons that Laura and I do this, I'm old school. I don't like to put people up in hotels that come. If at all possible, I want them to stay at my house because I want to know them. Laura and I want to know them. We want to know what they're all about. We want to know if the ministry is real or it is not. Therefore, you see, that's the call of God for us as the leaders and the elders, and Rick looks into these things as well, and the deacons should be looking into these things as well, and then coming out with, okay, we want to be able to do wells in India. Listen, I want you to know that a lot of the money that comes through a lot of these organizations that tell you they are doing these kinds of things, that money is not going towards what you think it is. A lot of that money is going into the pockets of individuals that are the CEOs of those organizations. It is not going towards the well. It is not going towards supporting food for the individual. And how do I know this? Because God showed me this early in ministry, right after 4 or 5 years after being in ministry, an individual approached me and said, listen, I want you to go in partnership with me on this. And what we're going to do is we are going to tell the people we are going to collect monies for poor people and for people that were trying to get out of slavery and so forth in other countries. We're going to get pictures of all that, and we're going to have thousands of dollars come in. And you and I are going to be able to fly anywhere we want to in private jets. Literally told me that. He said, the people will give. He said, and because of your gifting, you're going to be the one that will be able to stand up and be able to get them the gift. And I said, not going to happen. We must know where we are giving and using wisdom in that. And if for whatever reason Living Water Church finds out that these funds are not going where they're supposed to be going, that money will be cut off. And it will be cut off immediately. That's the heart of this pastor and of our leadership, that we want to know where it's going. And we're not going to bring you needs without knowing that it's actually going there. One of the things that I love about Pastor Joseph is he is very accountable, and there are some that are not. He is accountable, and immediately when he gets a motorcycle, he's sending us a video sitting on his motorcycle. He doesn't show us a video on how fast he's driving the motorcycle, but he does have it. And I ask him, I say, would you please send us some pictures of bicycles? And he said, I'm way ahead of you on that one. By the way, his favorite thing in America now is Dunkin' Donuts coffee. Okay. Lord did that to him, okay? And his second favorite thing that he loves to say is Hobby Lobby. So, Laura took him to Hobby Lobby. All right. As far as who I give to, we know that you can be safe in giving to the elders, to the church, so that we can distribute if you have it upon your heart to do that. But if you're going to give to others, okay, very important to get a hold of this too. There are individuals that are within our lives that we want to help because they're, you know, they're down and out and so forth. But pay attention and get some counsel on these individuals before dishing out a lot of money to them, okay? Get some counsel because it'll save you in the long run and make you a better steward of that. Now, one last thing that I do want to talk about. There are individuals that we give to, and then somewhere down the line, whether it's right away or a little bit beyond that, here they are back again with their hand out. Right? I need some more. I need some more. Stewardship comes into play here. And we have to understand, if we know, okay, the scripture is very clear about there's a difference between knowing and not knowing. Once we know something, for example, if we give and then we find out that it's not being used appropriately, it's not being used for what they said it was going to be used for, then you as a believer have the responsibility to stop. Okay? Stop doing that. Stop providing for them to go out and to use the money unwisely. It all falls upon something called not casting your pearls before swine. Okay? You're not going to give the good things of God away when they're not going to be used successfully. Now, some people say, well, I gave and then I found out this. Well, I'm so sorry I gave. Listen, you don't need to be sorry that you gave in the first place because your heart was right in giving. Okay? So forget about that. Forget about that whole thing. I wish I'd have known that. Listen, God's going to bless you for that, but if you continue to give after you've been counseled, after you know to him that knows to do good and then continues to do it, to him it is accounted sin. And that's not good accountability and it's not good stewardship. Does everybody understand? If you are aware of what they are doing with it or have been given beforehand, you know it was a bad investment, don't invest again. Now, they're going to keep coming to you. Several years ago, and this was before Charlotte was here, and but there was a man that he came to our church regularly. At least once a year he showed up. It was like clockwork. Okay? And oftentimes here's what you hear, and some of you heard this before. Okay? This man was savvy enough that he knew not to come knocking on the church door and say, "Hey, can I have some money? Can I have money for gas? Can I have money for this? Can I have money for this? Can I have money for this? Can I have money for this?" He came and said, "Is there any work that I can do for you so that I can make some money?" See, he was smart enough to know that most pastors, when they have people come and say, "Gimme, gimme, 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 gimme," that they're just going to back up and say no. So he's like, "Is there anything that I can do?" So the first year, that was when we were all in our construction phase and everything. And I said, "Yeah, there's some gravel that needs to be moved from over here in this pile." And some of you might remember we had gravel piled up and everything. And I said, "You know, can you move it up here to the street?" And he said, "You know, I got a bad hip." I said, "Well, just do a little bit. You know, I'll whatever you can do." So he did. He worked probably about an hour. And we gave him some money for doing that. He said, "God bless you. God, you know, oh, I'm so thankful for you. God bless you." And he leaves. Next year, about the same time, comes back. And this time, he had a different excuse of why he needed money. I said, wait a minute, last year you told me such and such. He said, I was here last year? I said, yeah. I said, I'll tell you what. You just lied to me because you told me something different last year and now you're lying to me. I said, leave. I'm not giving you any finances. Leave now. You really going to be that way to me as a pastor? I can't believe you're saying that to me as a pastor. Well, you better believe it. Leave. So he left. 1 year later, he came back again. And he said, you know what? He said, I remember being here last year, and you asked me to leave. He says, is there any way you could give me some money today for gas? And I tell you, this just hit me like, you know, I believe in diligence. And this guy was so diligent that he had the nerve to come back and say, you know what, I lied to you and you kicked me out last year, but now can I just have some money? I need some gas. I was so touched by that I gave him $10 for gas and I said, leave. Okay? Because of diligence. But it's important for us to be good stewards. I guess that's the whole reason for that, because each one of us has people in our lives like that. Okay? And it is important that we use due diligence in knowing what they're all about and what we're actually giving to. So we've answered several questions. Hopefully, you have the answers to them all, Caleb, right? Well, understand, giving to the poor God's way. I hope that clarifies a lot of things and a lot of questions that some have had over the years. I know it's not something that's typically preached in a church setting, but be careful and be cautious and be good stewards. I guess what we take away from this is, you need to know you have heard from God before you sell your house and your property and give it away. Okay? Because you have to hear from God. If it truly was God, He will give and restore and take care of you. But if it wasn't, you just gave away the farm. And you gave away what God had given to you for provision for you. Amen? Amen. Father, I know this was a tough situation and a tough subject to handle here today, but I pray, Lord, that you would give us that wisdom, because you said wisdom is the first thing. And I just ask, God, that you would help us to be good stewards as a church and good stewards as individuals and good stewards for wisdom when it comes to helping others. God, we don't want to become hard. We want to be pliable in your sight, because we know that you do tell us that we ought to give to the poor, but there are certain ways that you ask us to do it. And help us, Lord, to have wisdom from here on out as we deal with our giving. And I'll thank you and I'll praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen and amen.
We thank you for listening to today's message and pray that the Holy Spirit touched your heart. If you would like to support this ministry, please send your donation to Living Water Church, 1000 Hall Valley Drive, Bridgeport, West Virginia, 26330. Living Water Church is a 501(c)(3) nonprofit organization. Your gifts are tax deductible.